Live from the studios of KTAR News 92.3 FM, it's the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show with Brian Whitfield. Everything you need to know to grow. Call Brian with your questions at 602-277-5827. That's 602-277-5827. The Whitfield Nursery Garden Show, now on KTAR News 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
And we're back. Becky and Phoenix is up next, then Elaine, then it could be you. All you have to do is give Shira a call at 602-277-5827 for the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show. Becky, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. I have a question. Yesterday you had mentioned a chemical compound, INAZ. Mm-hmm. If you have that, don't use it. And you gave the full name, but I missed how to spell that.
There's two of them, but if you just look for that part of it, Nazapur, and they're just very much the same. And you're going to find them, and where that chemical arrives from is Ortho Ground Clear is one thing that contains it. And anything that they're trying to take a pre-emergent or a contact killer and spread its longevity, Roundup's making one like that now, too, and I would suspect it's the same chemical. But I have inspected hundreds of trees around the valley and yards where that's damaged the trees and the plants. And it's just uncanny how many times I go out to see a tree that's having a problem and they've used these chemicals. So I really personally think they shouldn't be marketed or sold in the state of Arizona. And I was asking some people from the U of A this last week at a meeting down at the Extension Service about that. But, they really are just bad chemicals. I mean, just bad chemistry, and they cause a lot of problems. And the other thing is people don't really read the labels and they don't use chemicals correctly. And so they're just one you really want to stay away from. If you have some at home, just dispose of it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Beth.
Enjoy your show.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Elaine in Peoria, good morning.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Oh, enjoy the morning. It's my favorite studio here with the beautiful clouds and the mountains and Sunny Slope.
Oh, I know. It must be beautiful. Happy Sunday. I'm going to do it really quick because I've arrived at church and I'm running late. But anyhow, number one is, can I go ahead and start planting my seeds in my garden for fall, or should I wait a little bit longer?
It's perfect weather this week, Elaine.
Okay. Number two is, I found some pots that are about 10 inches, and I do everything in pots above ground. And I was wondering, can I plant almost anything in those, or is there something that takes deeper root?
Well, that's pretty small for a lot of our larger vegetables and things. So as long as you're not trying to grow too many plants in it, if you were trying to grow like a lettuce or something like that, probably be fine. But, to grow a plant as large as a tomato or a pepper, you'd certainly want to use a bigger container, probably even a 15-gallon. And the nice thing with peppers is you can keep peppers for 2 or 3 years. Okay. So just keep in mind the size of plants you're going to grow.
Okay, and the other thing is that I've got an eggplant that keeps getting a bug on it, and I can't find anything on it. So what should I spray it with?
Is it chewing and eating the leaves, or what's the bug doing?
It's just some holes in the leaves, and I cannot tell. I've looked at it, taken a microscope.
Yeah, there can be different... Different insects that could cause that. What you could use is like a safer soap, okay? Or when the weather cools off, you can use like a neem oil. You can't use neem oil right now because it's too hot. But that work does a pretty nice job.
Kind of
it's called safer soap.
Safer soap.
But you could actually use Dawn, too, if you wanted to. And you basically are suffocating them with soap.
Okay. And then I'll call you next week about my lemon tree. I finally think it's bit the dust. And I was wondering if I could put that in a 15-gallon container.
Well, you know what? If you had a lemon tree in a 15-gallon container and you let it root into the ground out to the bottom of the container, it'll do very well. If you're going to grow one in a container and keep it contained, that what you want to do is not use potting soil, but use dirt.
Okay. And then what about how many holes to put in the bottom so it can go through?
Well, you could just drill like 2 or 3 holes in there about an inch in diameter in the bottom so the water's going through there. The roots will chase those holes. It'll root into the ground and it'll make a big lemon tree.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elaine. Have a nice day.
You also.
Bye-bye. Jana and Tempe, Jeff, and then it could be you. The number to call for Miss Shira, 602-277-5827 for the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show. Jana, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question for you. I live in South Tempe, and I have a side yard that I'm trying to grow grass in, but the dirt is very compacted, very hard, like clay. Mm-hmm. And I know my father wants to use gypsum.
Mm-hmm.
Gypsum.
And gypsum's
how do I apply that?
Well, you really need to, when it's compacted like that in the side yard, you need to loosen the soil. So it would be good to have somebody like rototill it in. So you would spread the gypsum on top of the ground. Fairly heavy. You can use probably 50 pounds for 150 square feet or 200 square feet. And then take a rototiller and till it into the ground, because that's going to get it blended in. Because you have that compaction with that clay when it's been walked on a lot, it's hard to break up. And the gypsum just applied to the surface isn't going to probably do that. But if you would just rototill it in, you'll probably have much better results.
Yeah, it's not walked on that much, but there's no shade, so it just gets baked in the sun.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you would take it and incorporate the gypsum, and then if you wanted to, what are you going to try and grow there, Jenna?
Clover.
Clover. So what you probably want to do is put some organic material like mulch or compost in there as well. And if you're going to take the time to till it, go ahead and put the gypsum on with some organic material, till it all in, and then it'll probably be fine.
Is there anything else I can put on it or in it?
Well, if you
get a better soil.
Well, when you're making stew, you want to make, but the organic material will be good. You'll probably need some nitrogen, a nitrogen source. And if you want to cover all the base nutrients, you could take and sprinkle like some citrus fertilizer over it, or chicken manure, or fish emulsion, and all those things would help as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you very
much. Thanks, Jana. Bye bye. Jeff in Phoenix. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
Oh, enjoying the morning.
Fantastic. I know. It's a great one with the clouds. You had a call in the first hour. A fella had some crown rot in his queen palms. You recommended Monterey Disease Control Copper Sulfate.
And my copper sulfate. Both products.
Both together. Okay. Mm-hmm. My question, Brian, is how in the world do I get it up there? I have mature queens. They're about 15 years old. They clearly have the same problem. Well, I can't figure out how to get the stuff up there without spilling it all over my
head. Well, that's the hard part. So here's one way you could probably do it. You could take a piece of PVC pipe, okay, and put a ball valve on it, you know, like a valve so you can turn the water off and on. And you could put the chemical in the top of the pipe with a funnel, okay, and keep it upright. You don't want to get this copper on your face and on you. But then you could turn the water on. The water is going to push the chemical up to the top and into the tree. And as soon as you got enough water that goes through just to push that chemical up, then shut off.
So is the ball valve down where I'm holding it then?
Yes, down where you're holding it. Okay. And then the tricky part is you're going to have to get a funnel and fill it up and keep it leaning against the tree. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then turn the water on, push the chemical out through the top and into the crown.
So, like with a hose pressure kind of thing?
Well, with the water pressure. Now, you could, you know, if you had a sprayer or something like that, you could, with enough pressure, a tank that would build pressure, and then just use a smaller hose. You know, the smaller diameter of the hose would be best, probably half inch, but it's going to have to be a better grade, like a Schedule 40 half inch pipes to be stiff enough to go up there.
Yeah, interesting. That's very clever. All right, time to rumble around in the garage, see what I can find parts-wise.
All righty, Jeff. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sandy in Maricopa, good morning.
Good morning. I have a Mexican sweet lime, the sweet one, not the tart one.
Right.
Last year, it had hundreds of fruits on it.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring, it was covered white with flowers, and now I have one lime. Is there a good way to help that recover?
Well, there's always next year, Sandy.
I didn't know if that was...
No, they're not really alternate bearing. You know, lemons and limes are kind of sometimes kind of inconsistent. You know, we grow a lot of lemons. We don't grow the Mexican ones, but we grow a lot of Lisbon lemons and things in Eurekas and Myers. But at any rate, there's definitely big differences in crop. And the most important things you can do to be good to it is number one is make sure your watering is consistent. You want to fertilize it like in February because it'll probably start blooming depending on the year sometime between, February and March. And, but be consistent with your watering and fertilizing then. And, you know, just the weather's going to make a big difference. But if you have a late frost after they bloom, that'll knock a lot of the fruit off too, or frost right while they're in bloom. And that can certainly happen to limes.
Just strange. I also have a small ruby red grapefruit that lost most of its leaves over the summer.
Okay.
I think your guys planted it like maybe a year and a half ago.
Make sure
it has fruit on it, but it's lost most of the leaves.
Make sure it's wrapped. You can leave the fruit on it. It's not going to hurt anything. Make sure it's wrapped to protect it from the sun. Fertilize it once a month. So fertilize it. If you haven't fertilized it recently, fertilize it today or tomorrow. And and fertilize it again probably the second week of October. And it, with this weather that we're having this week where the night times are going to cool down, this is the perfect citrus growing weather. So on a young tree like that, I would water it once a week now, but deep. Okay. And fertilize it and water it in. And I think you'll see it respond by the end of this week.
Great. I don't want to lose it.
Oh, we don't want you to either.
No. All righty. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sandy. Bye-bye. Paul and Chandler's up next. But first, we have to take a short break. We'll be right back with the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show. We're here every Sunday morning with the lovely Shearer on phones and music, Troy Barron on the news, and me, Brian. I'm with the, I guess I'm the host on 92.3 FM KTAR.
Country with a little bit of rhythm and blues. And when the boys start rocking, there's a beat that you just can't lose. Where it's gonna take us, nobody knows. It sure feels good to the body and soul. I love the slide. Guitar. I love the moan of the no blues horn. I love the shake of a tambourine. I love the bass when it's low and mean. So put on your shower shoes and turn it loose. Turn it loose. Feel like you're dancing and you just can't stay in your seat. Your knees start knocking and you can't help stomping your feet. Before you even know it, you'll be singing along. It makes me want to stay here all night long. I love the slide.
I have to tell you, folks, that's Shira's favorite Judd song. Looks like the lines are full. We'll get right back to the phones, and let's see. We got to get in the correct order. So next up, we've got Paul and Chandler. Hello, Paul.
Hey, thanks for doing the show. Appreciate all the advice.
You know, Paul, I tell you, I do the easiest show on the radio because we have so many wonderful callers. You know, it just makes it so easy.
Well, your knowledge makes it easier for you, too, so that's always appreciated. My neighbor, I love him. God love him. He's a great guy, great neighbor, but he does not take care of his lawn. And I think he's got a couple sisus, and they shed really bad. So, and he probably does yard work twice a year. So I built this beautiful horizontal cedar fence from, you know, normally I'm in the older part of Chandler, so the wall would stop at kind of halfway at the back of the house. So I built it out to the front of the house to prevent a lot of the leaves and everything from coming over. And he's got some big old fan palms in the backyard up against the wall. He's got a row of them, maybe 5 or 10 of them. And he doesn't take care of those until, like I said, once a year, twice a year. He'll cut them back. He'll have someone cut them back. But I noticed a little one kind of something that seeded up by my new fence, up towards the front of the lawn. It's kind of a random area, so I know he didn't put it there. He didn't plant it, and it started growing, and now it's probably about 3 feet tall, and it's right up against my cedar, my wood fence there. I know the palms usually have soft roots, but what I'm concerned with is it gets a little girth to it, is it going to start pushing my fence?
Absolutely, Paul. You just need to dig it out.
All right. I don't know how to approach him about that, but
just tell him, hey, I just put this new fence up, and this little palm tree is going to push against my fence. But tell him, hey, I'd be happy to help you dig it up and move it back a different location in your yard, and it'll transplant very easy if he wants to keep it. If not, he can dig it out and throw it away. But you know, it can certainly create a problem, so you definitely need to get it removed. And you know, if he's trimming the palm trees once a year, as long as he gets them after the 4th of July, they won't have any seeds, so that'll eliminate a lot of that problem. And once a year is fine for the palm trees. And, you know, you might be lucky that he's not taking such good care of his lawn, because those sisus, if they're sprinkled constantly, will tend to have a lot of surface roots. But if he's not watering so often, the sisus are less problematic than if he waters them all the time.
Okay.
So you got some good things going for you there. And there's the good and the bad and the ugly. And the ugly is you better get that little fan palm out.
Yeah, well, and the other good thing is he's really quiet. And, I never have any problems. So, yeah, okay, well, I appreciate it. I'll make sure to talk to him about that one and bring it to his attention. He probably doesn't even realize it.
All righty, Paul. Have a nice weekend.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. Harry in Phoenix. Good morning, Harry.
Hey, Brian. Great show. Love it. Hey, quick question. I think it's just the most beautiful tree. I have one. You don't have to go far to see him in the riparian area, but it doesn't seem to be very hardy. My sycamore I bought 10 years ago, 8 years ago, the heat got to it and turned completely brown. But I got a new tree from the sprout. So now I got another 10-foot, 3-inch base. I have flood irrigation, completely brown. Do I need it? But I got new green leaves coming out of the trunk.
You know what? You can go ahead and fertilize it right now, Harry, and water it in between irrigations a couple times. It'll come back.
Oh, wow. Great news. Hey, real fun fact. I went to school with the Mary and Philip DiGiulio. Mm-hmm. Philip usually takes my sister around. I don't know the relationship, but
oh, those are my cousins.
I was a city boy, and he'd come in his cowboy boots and maybe tan.
So you went to Camelback?
Yeah, Montevista and Camelback.
Oh, okay, yeah, all the way with them. Yep.
You know, all right, thank you. So much.
You know, they're almost twins. They're 11 months apart.
Oh, is that? Hey, in Oregon, it was real easy because I just wake up in April and I have a garden of tulips. And that's call it a day.
Well, Harry, take care. Bye-bye. Veronica in Surprise. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning, Brian. Just a quick question about my plum tree. We had like one storm roll through here in Surprise the whole summer, and it took down one of my branches, and it tore right into the trunk. So there's a big gaping hole there now. Is there anything I can do for it to help it out?
You know, I would prune it to where it's got the a cleaner cut on it, okay, as best you can. And I would probably go ahead and seal it up with some tree heel, like the tar type you put on with a spatula.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, cool. And one other thing, I have an orange tree that really is not doing well. And I've watered it and watered it and watered it. It's just in a really bad part of the yard. And it's brown now, and I've done so much watering.
Well, this is the perfect season, okay, to try and help a citrus come back.
Okay.
So if you water it deep once a week and feed it right now, if it should come back and bud and kind of fill in within the next month. If it doesn't, it might be time for a new one.
Okay. And should I prune it?
There's probably not a lot of reason to prune it, as long as it's small and then just green, you can. And my grandfather always said, if you prune them, they grow faster. And it, you know, they certainly respond to it. So if you want to prune it back some and reduce its size, that's not going to hurt them at all.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Veronica. Bye-bye. Wayne and Chandler. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Brian, I got a couple questions for you. One, I've got pretty much an open canvas in a front yard that I want to put some new plants into next month or two. I'm looking for suggestions on things that will really pop, you know, from basically when we have company, right, from, you know, January through, you know, May or so.
What kind of exposures is your front yard, Wayne? What side of the house is it on? East, north, west, south.
Okay, so the front of the house faces north, and the side of the house faces west.
Okay, so do you have any trees there?
No trees. The only thing that's out there is there's a bougainvillea that's on the north side facing the fence?
Well, if you put a shade tree on the northwest corner of your yard to the front, that side, it's going to shade your house from the hottest sun in the summertime. And that will become a very useful part of your landscape and cooling and different things. Are you going to have rock as a ground cover, basically?
It's got rock there now. So okay. I'm just basically rebuilding stuff that was here before.
So basically what I would do, I'd probably start off with a shade tree there. I mean, a good choice would be a red push pistachio because it's clean. It's going to drop leaves 1 week a year on the rock. The rest of the year, it's not going to shed anything. And it's a fairly low water user, too. And easy tree to grow. Yeah,
I've bought six of those from you at my other house.
Well, you probably don't need six of those right now.
No, I love them. They're great trees. I love them. They're beautiful.
But then in the front on the north side, it's a little tricky because it only is going to get, full sun in the summertime, so it's a shadier area. One plant that we enjoy that we have on the north side of our house that takes the summer sun and blooms and looks good, pretty much year-round is a Miami Supreme Gardenia. So perhaps somewhere up to the close by the door where people are going to be entering and walking past it, it has a nice fragrance to it. It's a real pretty plant as far as being green. The white flowers aren't as spectacular as some of the others, but the fragrance is really worth it. And then as you get away from that, you could put in some larger shrubs. And there's a wide array of desert shrubs. I mean, probably the most popular shrub in the valley is Lantana, and that's because it blooms so long. I mean, Lantana can be in bloom here. Pretty much usually it'll start blooming in February and stay in bloom most of the year. And if we don't have any frost, it can even bloom in January. So it can give you a lot of color. But then if you want to step that up, you have to kind of pick a palette, whether you want to be a little more desert or a little more tropical looking. And there's a lot of nice shrubs, from all the different kinds of sages that are different sizes. If you want some flowering plants that come out different, even like the Hesperalos can have nice color to them at different times of year and be pretty. And even like the basic old Mexican bird of paradise along that west side, if you wanted something to kind of block a neighbor or something that would be 6 to 8 feet tall and give you color, pretty much here from April on. I don't know if that's going to be, blooming too late for you. There's a fire bush which comes out, which has kind of like a Cape honeysuckle type orange trumpet flower, which will attract hummingbirds. That would work very well as a substitute plant over there, which would be in bloom. And I would expect it to be in bloom at least by March and flowering that time of year. Another popular plant here, because of its long blooming cycle, are little John bottlebrush. And they'll have a red flower and can start blooming early spring. So you'll have color, early in the spring. And so there's a whole group of different things that are fun, Wayne. Probably what I'd recommend to you is just take a picture and come down to the nursery. We could show you all different kinds of things, and you could see what you like. And, we have a very well-educated staff that can guide you in which things that will bloom at different times and how they're to be maintained and that kind of thing.
Okay, sounds good, Brian. Thank you so much. Once again, appreciate your show.
Yeah, appreciate your call. Bye-bye. Let's see. Next up, we have Noelle and Gilbert. Good morning, Noelle.
Hi, Brian. I have a question about Mexican fan palms. You said now's the time to plant them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch that just grow, like baby fan palms,
okay.
Grow under my mesquite tree. But every time we transplant them, they die. We try to mimic the environment. Should I put them in a pot?
Well, no. You could. How large are you trying to transplant? How big are the trees when you're moving them?
They're probably about 4 months old.
Little baby seedlings. So what you'd have to do with those is you cut them all the way back. Just leave like one leaf in the middle and just cut it in half. Okay. And then take a shovel and you want to get down about at least a foot deep because they've got a pretty big root that as soon as they germinate goes straight down and then it starts to branch later on. But I'll tell you what, they're fairly inexpensive, and you can buy a 15-gallon one that would be 6 or 8 feet tall. That if you really want to grow one, might be easier. But if you want to try and transplant those seedlings, it might be easier to go ahead and dig them out, put them in a container where you can take better care of them. And you'll keep them wet and grow them in the container for a year and then plant them into the ground would be easier.
Okay. Thank you. Can I ask you one more question?
Well, I've got to take a break. But if you want to hang on during the news, I'll take you back right after the news.
Okay,
hold on.
Thank you.
And we've got three lines available. We have the lovely Shira here on the line. Just give her a call at 602-277-5827. And now we have Mr. Troy Verrett in the studio with the news.
Oh, it's springtime in the mountain, that I'm full of Mountain Dew. Can't even read my catalog like I used to do. do. I'm sitting in that little shed that's right back of the house. Here comes old Jake with all the hounds, but he's gonna hear me shout. Oh, I won't go hunting with you, Jake, but I'll go chasing women. So put them hounds back in the pens and quit your silly grinning. Well, the moon is right and I'm hand tied, and my life is just beginning. I won't go hunting with you, Jake, but I'll go chasing women. Go down to the meeting house and wait till they start home. Them gals that live on Possum Creek will always leave alone. We'll run them down the cornrows, them sassy little misses. We'll scare them pretty gals to death. We'll stop and throw them kisses. Well, I won't go hunting with you, Jake, but I'll go chasing women. So put them hounds back in the pens and quit your silly grinning. All the moon is right and I'm half tight. My life is just beginning. I won't go hunting with you, Jake, but I'll go chasing women.
Well, welcome back, folks. Beautiful morning out there. We do have a line available. Number to call 602-277-5827 for the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show. We have Shira here on the phones and the music every Sunday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM KTAR. Noelle, good morning again.
Hi, Brian. Quick question. Do I need to wait until October to plant milkweed?
No.
Oh, good.
No, you can plant the tropical or desert. Either one can be planted right now.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Mel. Bye-bye. Ashley in Scottsdale, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi,
so,
Ashley.
I bought two little mini succulents at a farmer's market a couple months ago. And I'm not sure what one of them is, but the other one I know for certain is the Mother of Thousands. And I put them in a window, gets sun about half, it's an east-facing window, so it gets sun for half the day. And they both really took off, probably like 9 inches tall, and it seemed a little odd to me. I was reading, I guess that's because they weren't getting enough sun. The succulents grow up
they'll elongate and stretch more in less light. That's true.
Yeah.
But I would think east-facing window, unless you have an overhang or a patio outside of it, I think that would be a pretty ideal location.
Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure what happened, but now I'm looking at it and, you know, he's very tall and lanky, probably like 9 inches. So I repotted him and he's pretty happy, like a bigger pot. But I guess I'd like him to be more of the traditional succulent looking with, you know, lower and more wide leaves. Can you trim a succulent? Like, could I cut him off at, you know, 2 or 3 inches and will he come back?
Well, I'm not sure which one you have exactly. And I'll tell you what you can do if you like is if you send a picture into our website at Whitfield Nursery, we can I can give you better advice, Ashley, because there's a lot of them. You know, we probably different kinds carry up to 200 or 300 different varieties of succulents, and they are different, you know, and they just need different care. And it might be that you just have chosen one that's probably not the best form for what you're looking for. Because there are many that spread and others that grow vertical and they grow all different kinds of forms. But as far as, you know, the amount of light you have, it sounds pretty ideal to me.
Okay. And then the other question I have, I inherited a very healthy, I don't know about healthy, but a very tall bamboo plant that was in a pot. Mm-hmm. And he is not doing well, like, you know, I'm watering him regularly, but his shafts are all yellow and everything. But I am seeing small growth at the very bottom, like little tiny shoots. Is there anything I can do to kind of bring him back to life?
Well, absolutely. You know, here's the thing with bamboo, Ashley, that some varieties in captivity, you know, try to get a lot bigger than the container is. Like if you're growing, for example, a timber bamboo in a 15-gallon container, it limits out at a certain point. And then it's going to shed leaves and be thin. You know, but if you keep it fertilized and they'll use quite a lot of fertilizer, you know, they'll maintain more foliage and a lot of water. But if you had a place to put it in the ground or if you repotted it into a larger pot, and if you want to keep it in a larger pot for a long time, I'd recommend using dirt instead of potting soil so you can retain more moisture. And then periodic feeding will keep it greener and fuller.
Okay. So he's not a lost cause.
Not a lost cause. Well, we never give up, you know. It's that's a real bad trait in my family, Ashley. So we never give up. Have a nice day.
Yeah, I just keep looking at him. I'm like, so poor guy.
Well,
you
but,
too.
But if you repot it in some soil and fertilize it, it'll green right up, especially with the weather we're having now. So we're going to have just fantastic weather in the forecast.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Susan and Gilbert, good morning.
Good morning. I have an African sumac that's probably at least 35 to 40 years old, and we lost about a third of it. Last summer, we had a microburst come through our neighborhood and just took out about a third of it. So we, you know, trimmed it, cut it where it needed to, and it did fine. And then this summer, it looks like it's dying. Like a lot of the branches are dead and brown. And
well, it will come. Yes, Susan, it'll come back from some point. So what I would do with it right now is just fertilize it first, okay? And if you have a lot of suckering in the bottom, you might want to thin some of that down so it pushes more up to the top. And keep it well-watered and fertilized. And Gilbert, we have heavy enough soil most all over Gilbert that doesn't need to be watered very often. Once a week is more than adequate. But a shot of fertilizer is going to go a long way for it. And the change in weather where these nighttime temperatures are dropping, it's going to respond well to that. And, you know, this is past the shedding season for sumacs, and it's a very good growing season for them. So I would fertilize it now and maybe fertilize it again in about 3 weeks, and probably somewhere by the end of October you'll be able to see what's viable and prune it back to that point, and it'll come right back out.
Okay, what kind of fertilizer?
If you have like a citrus food at home, 10-10-10, they're not picky.
Okay. Very good. And does it hurt? One's in the lawn, and we don't grow a summer lawn, we grow a winter lawn. Mm-hmm. But the other one, we have two, and it's looking similar. It's not quite as big. And that one is in rock, and sometimes, not consistently, but my husband's pretty good about using pre-emergent in the rock.
Well, if it's truly pre-emergent, okay, pre-emergent's not going to hurt it. But if you use a product called Ortho Ground Clear or any of these other ones that say they're going to maintain the weeds for like 6 months at a time, those can be a big problem. And they can stunt the tree, and they can eventually kill the tree. And it takes those chemicals about a year to wear off in the soil.
Okay. I don't think it's the Ortho Ground Clear, but I'll double check with
you. Yeah, I mean, a true pre-emergent is going to be fine. But if it's something that just says it's a longer-term weed control that goes into the soil, that can be a problem. A pre-emergent works just by keeping the weeds from germinating on the surface. These other ones go actually into the soil and cause huge problems.
Okay.
All
right. Well, we'll do that. Thank you so much for
Thanks,
your help.
Thanks, Susan. Bye-bye. Tom and Chandler, good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I have a mature tangelo tree that just in the last few days has started peeling off bark in large quantities, and I haven't changed anything other than a really deep soak last week. I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, that bark was cooked this summer when it was really hot, and it's just kind of exfoliating now, and that portion of the tree is cooked and dead. So the sun has hit the bark and cooked it. The tree can recover. What you'd want to do is to either wrap the trunk or paint the trunk. And where the bark is falling off, that portion of the cambium layer in the tree is actually dead already. But the tree can grow a new cambium and come back around. And it was just exposed to too much sun and the heat back in July.
Okay, so a little piece of the tree at the top, it looks like it's already dying, but the rest of the tree looks okay. The peeling bark is down around the main trunk.
Well,
so
that's
really
because the branches were up high and that side of the wood has been cooked. Now, it's usually just a patch on that side, depending on how high your foliage is. But if you ever drive by like a citrus orchard, you notice our trees go almost to the ground. And really, the tree needs enough canopy to protect itself from the sun. If not, it should be painted. So I would paint it now, okay? And you can get a brown color paint that looks like the tree bark. You don't have to paint it white. But paint it now and let the foliage grow out a little bit lower. You know, now's the perfect time to feed it if you haven't fed it recently. And it will come back and survive.
Just some typical citrus fertilizer, I guess.
Yeah, we have one called OrganoPro that we like real well, but, you know, Arizona's best. They're all going to do a pretty good job for you.
Okay, as I'm walking around the tree, I see bark peeling in various spots around the trunk. So that It's our favorite tree, so it really worries us. And we lost our two big ash trees this summer, so it's like, oh my.
Well, you might end up doing a little pruning on the top, but fertilize it right now and protect the trunk, and it'll come back out.
It wasn't because I overwatered it then.
No, it had nothing to do with the water. It was the sun cooking the bark.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Ken in Cornville. Good morning, Ken.
Thanks, Brian. I planted about a month and a half ago. Maybe it was not the right time to plant it. Was it Ocotillo?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to have kind of dried out. It had the orange little flowers on the top. Now those are gone. And I don't know if it's dead or what.
Well, Ken, was it bare root or was it in a container?
It was bare root.
Okay, so that's not unusual. If you take a sharp knife and scrape the wood, you'll probably find that it's green underneath. And it may take it a year or two to root. They don't root very fast. But actually, a month ago was not a bad time to plant it. And
I was trying to get monsoons, and then, of course, we didn't have any.
Well, you know, and that's a good thing, you know. But it's still probably, you know, viable and fine. You don't want to overwater it, okay? It needs to get dry.
Okay.
In between waterings, you can sprinkle it down a little bit here and there. You could put, you know, a small drip on it, run it once a week, something like that. But you don't want to keep it very wet. Are you down by the creek or are you up on the hillside?
I'm up on a hill. I was trying to plant it kind of on the hillside to provide some shielding of some of the homes that I've got below.
Okay, so if the ground's rocky, then you can go ahead and water
it. It is rocky.
Yeah, so if you got rocky soil,
yeah.
You know, you can go ahead and water it, and you can water it probably as much as twice a week, but you wouldn't want to put more than a gallon on it at a time. And if you don't have an irrigation system, what you could do is take a gallon jug and just poke a little hole in the bottom so it drips out real slow and just set it next to the trunk and fill it up once a week. And that's plenty of water, but, you know, I wouldn't do that if it was heavy soil, but in rocky, you should be fine. You might even throw a little bit of Super Thrive in your jug and give it a little juice, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ken. Good luck. We're going to take a short break. While we're gone, we've got A-Line open. The number to call is 602-277-5827 for the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show. We're going to come back with about 10 minutes left. We'll be right back. Take a minute and invite you out to Whitfield's. You know, at Whitfield's, we grow trees, starting with my grandparents back in the 40s, continuing today for four generations. If you need trees, any kind, any size, if the summer was a little hot, you want to cool the environment, if you want to help the city out and not have the heat island here, we can do it by planting, you know, happy trees that lower our heat and thrive and cool our environment. Things like mesquites and Palo Verdes and ironwood trees and even red push pistachios really kind of thrive here in the heat. So Come out and see us at Whitfield's. We deliver plant and guarantee or license bonded shirt. No job's too big, none's too small. If you want one tree, if you want 1,000, if you love palm trees, you love desert trees. If you like tropical trees, we grow them all right here in Arizona. Our original store is at 824 East Glendale Avenue. We're in the East Valley at Cooper, which is the same as Stapley and Guadalupe, or 2640 70 Southern Avenue, straight south of Sky Harbor Airport. Whitfield Nursery for 4 generations, growing trees here in Arizona for Arizona's future. Let's see. Next up, we have Sandy in Peoria. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. You guys planted a whole bunch of yellow bells and ruellas in my yard, on, like about April or something. They grew. They got so big that they were laying down. And is this a good time that I can prune them?
It's the perfect time to prune them, Sandy. You know, especially this week, the weather's going to drop down. They're going to really kick in and start growing like crazy again because of the weather. It's going to be like 102 and 75, and plants couldn't be any happier. So prune away. And then you've
now,
got
the flowers are pretty much gone, but do they grow in the wintertime or
oh,
not?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the ruellas can bloom, you know, 10 months a year. The yellow bells are probably finished blooming. They'll come back and bloom again, and you'll get blooms through October, November.
Okay. And next question, I'm sure I fertilize them now, and with what?
Any balanced fertilizer you have, even like a 21-7-14 lawn fertilizer, Miracle-Gro, 10-10-10. But, you know, okay. You really don't have, if they're getting as large as you want to, you really don't have to fertilize either one of those varieties very often. They're pretty darn hardy.
Okay. And the last question is, I have Japanese privets along the side of my house, 12 of them. They're beautiful. One died, just out of the clear blue. Is this a good time to replant?
It would be a good time to replant. Any time now through the end of October is probably the best time. You know, and
do you... Do you carry the Japanese privets?
We do. You know, a lot of them really had a rough time this summer. You know,
mine were just absolutely gorgeous. And I've, you know, been doing, like you say, deep watering, whatever. It's all on the same system, everything. And I walked out a week later, and this one was totally dead. And I'm going, what?
Well, yours did better than mine then, Sandy.
mine are on the east facing of the house.
Well, that's a big plus. Mine are out with a parking lot to the west of them, so that's kind of hard.
Okay. So you guys do have those? And
we do, and if I'm not sure what we have in stock. We'll be bringing a lot more of those plants in this next 10 days or so because the weather is now looking like it's going to break.
And you have the 15 gallons, so I don't have to have a little 6-incher out there?
Yeah, we should definitely have some 15 gallons.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sandy. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You
bye.
You too. Bye. Susan in Scottsdale, good morning.
Oh, hi, Brian. I need your help with something. About 4 years ago, I found a vinca plant in a deep, deep purple, the color of a deep purple petunia. And I've nursed it and I've kept it alive for all this time, but the summer did it in and I've never seen it again. So I'm ready to try to plant it from seed, but I don't know how to go about doing it.
Oh, do you have some of the seed you've saved off the plant?
No, but I saw online where I could buy some.
Yeah, typically with vinca, we wouldn't plant the seed until about March.
About more. Oh, okay.
Because what happens this time of year is the days are getting shorter, the weather's cooler, and they really like to get started when it's got, you know, as the days are getting longer and with warmer weather. And you may be able to get it to germinate, and if you keep it in a pot and play with it, you could probably maintain it. And I would imagine it would germinate with this weather probably as well as any time because it's good weather for that. But yeah, we really don't even grow any of our vinca from seed. We have, you know, big companies that grow the vinca, and they grow that. We buy it from, like, Ball and some of these other large growers that grow plants all over the world. And sometimes with the colors, you know, they're constantly working on vinca because they can have fungus and problems. So the varieties do change from year to year, and maybe if that particular variety had more of a problem, they might not be growing it any longer. And then that's something that we run into a lot with annuals.
because I've never seen it before, and I've never seen it again. Have you ever seen
any in that color? Seen a lot of varieties from, you know, all the way from the purples to the pinks to the whites. I mean, vinca run a whole big spectrum there. And there's a lot of different cultivars and types of vinca. And I know the ones that we have this year were a new variety that we've had better luck with and appeared to be hardier. That's why we stayed with it. They didn't have had more resistance to fungus. But
And what color was that?
Well, all different colors. I mean, we had we had probably a dozen colors and different ones. Some are cascading, and we use them in hanging baskets, and others are just in the ground. You know, most places wouldn't keep vinca like we can here, but sometimes, you know, vinca lasts 3 or 4 years. Isn't that unusual if you can take care of them and they don't freeze?
I know. I was amazed that I took care of it as long as I did, but this summer it was just too much.
Well, they're kind of like puppies. Sometimes they get old, you know?
But I know.
Thanks,
okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Bye.
Let's see. I'll take the rest of the calls off the air, folks. Tarsa, Heather, and Brent, and Mike. Appreciate all the calls today. Hope you enjoyed the music and the talk and the fun calls that we had. We'll be back with you next Sunday with the Witchville Nursery Garden Show. And, you know, the answer is truly blowing in the wind, and how we work together and treat and love each other makes a big difference in the world. It's up to us to make the difference. We'll be back with you next Sunday with the Witchville Nursery Garden Show. And let's go out and just try to be kind and love each other. Be back next Sunday morning. Bye-bye.